It is time for the Berkshire Edge on air. You can find the Berkshire Edge at theberkshireedge.com. You heard the dong dong because someone went upstairs. I have a little app that lets me know when someone's at the front door or back door. Anyways, theberkshireedge.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they're there with you, and they join us on a weekly basis, and we touch on just some of the stories that you'll find at theberkshireedge.com. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we're down and at it right now.
We're going to drone on for a while.
Why
here.
Not? There's nothing.
Oh, do. I won't say anything about it for the first 10, 15 minutes.
You're licensed to drone in this airspace.
Good. I'm glad. We have permission to drone.
However,
great.
There are limits.
All right. Well, let's start off with
that. We have permission. We do it anyway.
Right. Supporters of the Home Rule petition. Of course, this was all up and held up in Boston, right? Big meeting?
In Boston, yes. There is a proposal floating about to restore horse racing at the Great Barrington Fairgrounds and a track in Boston area is thinking about this, but they will need permission from the state in order to get a license to have horse racing and betting, of course. And some local opponents of this idea have mounted a serious and vigorous campaign against this idea, although some in Great Barrington feel that it would be a boon to local businesses. But nevertheless, the opponents have taken their case to the legislature. And we have a story that how several of them went before the House and the Joint Committee on Consumer Protection. And in fact, we have our lead photo is Smitty Pignatelli, our state rep for this area, and one of the selectmen, Lee Davis. Great Barrington selectmen were there in Boston on Friday.
This is going beyond Great Barrington because there are several groups that have been formed and several individuals who also went to Boston who aren't in the photo. But there are people from South Egremont and others, Sheffield, and other surrounding towns who have joined in this. Fight to allow the town to approve whether or not we have racing that should not be imposed on us by the state.
Yeah, so this is a home rule issue, but it's really it's also driven by people who don't want horse racing itself.
No, there's nobody in this group that is fighting for horse racing.
No.
No, I wouldn't think so. It's
except
interesting
the
because
casino owners.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say it's interesting because when you deal with states and today's tight economy, if they can make tax dollars out of something that goes into the state coffers, you really got to fight hard. And it's obvious that people are organized, and we'll see how successful they can be bringing their case to Boston. And obviously, they have to get a bunch of other people on board in Boston. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. Home rule versus
I want to add to this. You know, you're right about tax revenues. Actually, Great Barrington has been enjoying a boon in tax revenues thanks to the marijuana outlets that have opened this year. I think it's $1.5 million extra dollars already. I mean, at least. So, a proposal like this for horse racing might not be quite so appealing as it might otherwise be.
Yeah, I'm talking about the state, and not locally. The state, if the state can make money off of it, beware. That's all.
It's a gambling.
And also, who knows? There's a track. What's the name of the organization? Let's see, Suffolk
Downs and Cistronauts
Race Course, which
yeah.
has has closed down its racetrack in Boston, so it's looking for another venue. But they, of course, want to have off-track betting.
Yeah,
right.
So that's. I mean, so it's going to be. You know, I always like to look at these home rule things when they've had enough, and it goes up against the state. No matter what state it's in, it's always an interesting case to follow.
Mm. Well, I have a question. Like in Connecticut, for you guys, do towns have a home? Can towns decide whether or not to have a casino?
Well, here's what the problem is in Connecticut. That Lime Rock Park has been long established, and some local people don't want them to do certain things. So the zoning board got involved, and then the state now is involved because the state is the one who regulates racetracks and what racetracks can do. Not home rule. It's never been that way because the legislature is on a state level. It wasn't made on a local level. So there's actually state statutes.
Right.
And so that's why we're so interested in following the case that's going on in Great Barrington. It's a horse of a different color, ha-ha, but it's a lot of the same thing. It's going to be very interesting to see how both those work out.
So, how is that going? I mean, is it...
There was meant to be a decision. It's been in the state Supreme Court now. There was meant to be a decision released in January, but that has not been released yet. Don't you worry about it. When it's released, you'll hear about it. You'll have it in your paper.
I'm just wondering because, you know, we have been supportive of Music Mountain.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
We'll not be able to have its Sunday concert.
Oh, I think no matter what happens, Music Mountain will have their Sunday concerts. I think they can rearrange the times for everything. I think if push came to shove, I bet you that both places could relax a little bit on when their times are and make it so possible. I have faith in humanity, and we also hosted an open forum session with members supporting the track and supporting not having the track. So we'll see what happens.
I'm sure it's the same arguments that we have here.
It's similar.
I mean, and we've had lots of debates among our commenters about whether this is good for Great Barrington or not.
The problem,
I think most of the people who oppose it do not say that it's not good for Great Barrington. They're opposing it on because of concern for the way the horses are treated.
They're slightly different cases, but they're still home rule versus state. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Right.
Let us go on to the Boston Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Well, its CEO and director for many years, Mark Volpe, is retiring. And this is a... He has really led the BSO into a big expansion out here in the Berkshires with new performance spaces and year-round programming, a brand-new Lindy Center concert hall that is year-round or could be year-round. And so that the BSO and its Tango and its Berkshire home is not just relying upon the shed, which is an open air venue. So it's a passing.
He's been there. He's been president and CEO for 23 years.
Yeah.
So according to our article, he has done an enormous amount. I mean, he has he's built the BSO endowment, and so it's now the largest of any American orchestra, and Volpe tripled it. They now have an endowment of $456 million with an annual budget of $107 million. So they, and Volpe raised $760 million. and then they've gotten, 6 Grammy Awards, he's negotiated 6 labor contracts, he's gotten 40 corporate sponsorships, and 50 recordings released. So he has done quite a bit.
Yep. It's I resisted from saying the CEO of the BSO. I just wanted you to know that.
CEO of the BSO, right.
I like
well,
that.
Well, he is. That
I
is
know.
What he is. So.
Well,
he is CEO of the BSO.
you get a CEO like that, that has done like that, you let him have his full run of 20-some years because those type of individuals come along once in a lifetime.
I know.
It's a real blow.
He'll be here through this.
This season.
He's going to retire in February 2021. So this will be his last year, and it gives them a year to search for somebody else.
Okay, let's go back to the smoke now in Great Barrington. The select board has determined only 7 pot stores, one for each ward. No, that's right.
Yeah, right. Well,
well, if we had wards.
I know.
Yeah, right.
This is an embarrassment of riches, I suppose, in a way.
I think they're being fair. You know, 7 pot stores and 7 liquor stores. I mean, the people in Great Barrington should be riding around in beds.
What are the things?
Riding around what?
In beds because they're not going to be able to walk.
To drive. Yeah. Right. But actually, bed push, it's a new gig. It's a new gig economy.
You know, it is quite remarkable how, it didn't take long, did it, for Great Barrington to become the kind of central distribution center. the minute the state approved, the sale of marijuana, the Great Barrington really took advantage of it.
Like you say this, and it's like in real estate: location, location, location.
Yeah, right.
Well,
right.
I guess, yeah. It is quite remarkable, though. But it is a huge boon to the local economy. There's still some feeling that this is kind of an evil source of income.
But interesting. I mean, as they reported at the meeting, I mean, there are now 5 agreements have been signed for retail cannabis operations in Great Barrington. But actually, 4 of them were sought in the first year.
Yeah.
And since then, only 1. So there hasn't exactly been a rush. So there's only 1 open.
So to speak.
Yeah, a rush. There's only 1 opened, and that's Theory Wellness on Stockbridge Road. And their lines are still long. But there's another one that's being built out near the bagel store called Rebel or Rebel, R-E-B-E-L-L-E. And then there's a 3rd one that's going to be right downtown next door to Tom's Toys. And I don't know where the other...
There's going to be another one in Sheffield as well.
There's good. Yeah, that's right.
But at least one.
Yeah, at least.
Yep.
And there's going to be another one in Stockbridge, I think.
So, I'm just curious, how do you compete? How cool.
How do you compete? Well, the way the liquor stores compete.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay, you get your local people and you...
There you go.
Well, I think there's...
I think you should throw horse racing
into this immediately.
We're going to set up and start doing some interviews on medical marijuana here in Connecticut and Massachusetts and also with Theory Wellness because, when I talk to some of the owners, it's not only the tax dollars but the jobs that they're now providing for mostly young people. I mean, is there a downside? Absolutely. But I think right now, for the rush of it and what's going on, I think Great Barrington's actually handled it pretty well, to be honest with you. They really have.
Well, you know what's surprising to me is the market for this. Who knew? Yeah. that it would be so popular.
Yeah.
It's quite astounding.
Well, I was yesterday having a conversation with the marketing director, of Canna Provisions, which is in Lee, and they are also doing very good business. And they are stressing the the health factors of marijuana. And if you're going to have a panel, you should probably have them represented as well. And they are people who have been running marijuana facilities or cannabis facilities for the last 10 years, both in California and in Colorado, and now they're here in Massachusetts. They are really talking about this as a lifestyle and a health, part of wellness and health. So they're trying to reposition marijuana, and they make some interesting points.
Yeah. Let's move on to, on the lighter side, as you say, with one of your writers.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, this is, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, Marcy.
Well, no, this is really something that we can talk about, but your readers really have to read it. We have a very talented writer named Sheila Clary, who has written a poem to her daughter, and what she has done is taken a poem by Andrew Marvel and reworded it, and it's hysterical. I mean, it's about the constant struggle with her daughter to get her daughter not to wear the same T-shirt that she's worn for 5 days already.
To school.
you really just have to read it. It's so funny. And, it's called To Her Stubborn Daughter. And we have written both the original Andrew Marvel
metaphysical poem.
From 1681, and his was called To His Coy Mistress, and Sheila's is To Her Stubborn Daughter. And it's just hysterically funny, so you'll laugh out loud. She's so clever, and it's any parent will recognize this fight.
All right, so to read it, theberkshireedge.com.
Right.
Is once again
and it's
the
called
website.
theberkshireedge.com/poem to her stubborn daughter.
Okay. Let's move from the stubborn daughter very quickly to the tribute to Dr. Martin Luther King.
Yes. Well, Great Barrington has traditionally had a rather large celebration of Dr. King's birthday, and many, many people gathered in the Congregational Church here, where W.E.B. Du Bois, the very famous civil rights leader and who lived in Great Barrington and grew up here, went to church, and it was a very heartfelt celebration of the African American community and its civil rights. So. And we have in the tribute to Dr. King, we have embedded a video of his "Have a Dream" speech that he delivered at the Lincoln Memorial many years ago. So it's quite an interesting.
It continues to move.
It continues.
Yeah.
Listening to that speech, you wish. Some of our leaders in Washington would listen to it again.
It's an amazing speech and an amazing time, especially when you put it at the time it happened. It was truly amazing. We play it every Martin Luther King holiday. We play
that.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Isn't it wonderful? I mean, it's so resonant.
Yeah, I was going to say, it just makes you feel... You hear it and you feel better after you
play. You feel proud actually. You feel like the spirit of America has been revived with that speech. You know.
Well, we will wrap things up with Kendra Smallwood
and Emma Blair. Right.
Yeah, this is a new little business that these two have introduced. Which is establishing a workspace for freelancers, co-work space,
right.
So that you're not just a freelancer with an office in some building somewhere, but you have a little collaborative of freelancers that could kind of interact with each other, and it sounds like a real community. You know, it's kind of like a co-op, and it's a brilliant idea, and I'm wondering, it's going to be here in Great Barrington, but I'm wondering if this concept will spread to other communities. It probably should.
Well, it is. You know, I mean, it has spread all over the world. It was a company called WeWorks, which provides co-working space. But this is really on a much, you know, smaller level.
A much more
level.
Local level, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are, you know, there are a lot of people working at home here in the Berkshires, and you know, they and a lot of people who are feeling lonely because they're working at home, and so this is really a place where people can come in, and there will be a conference room which will be shared,
right?
But they, you know, they and this is for people who really don't need a full-time office, also. And office space is at a premium around here and also expensive. So they're hoping to, you know, to have something that will be reasonably priced, that will be very congenial, where people can drop in and out or work full time. So it's, I mean, it seems perfect for the Berkshires.
Yeah, it does.
You know, it's, and I'm surprised nobody has done it before.
But
they're opening, they're hoping to open, you know, to get at least 10 commitments so they can open in mid-March. They're not going to open unless they have 10 people, and they want to charge $300 a month for membership, and you can come and go as you please.
And they'll have Wi-Fi and a conference room, and it'd just be a community.
Yeah.
And, you know, as if I myself have been in that situation. As a freelancer, and to have that sense of a community at your fingertips, it's just really nourishing, I think.
Right.
It's a sense of support. It's emotional.
Yeah.
It's not only emotional support, but it's actually physical support, and
yeah.
It's being around
yeah.
other people, and it's bantering forth. And if you're open and you're an entrepreneur, then you like to envision and speak with other entrepreneurs and share ideas. It really
yeah.
is a smart idea.
Right.
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea, actually. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but I do think that it's more for emotional support than it is for physical support, actually, because, you know, most people can work at home.
Yeah, but it's nice to have bodies around.
Definitely,
yeah.
Absolutely. So, no, that
fellow travelers.
Yes.
I do. So, I know. Every morning I get up and I work from 3:30 to 4:30 in my home office, and it's totally different than being around other people. So, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, you actually learn stuff from things that nobody knows exactly the same thing. So you pick up information from people.
Yeah, that's right.
That
right.
you
kind
don't
of serendipitous.
Yeah, it's like, oh wow, good.
There,
you know how to, and it's not even that you even know how to ask. So it's actually pretty efficient. Also, you learn to interact with other human beings, which is never bad.
All right. Well, we have interacted for the full time here, so we got to let you guys go.
Well, let's interact again.
Yes,
you say?
Please.
Right.
Next Wednesday, hopefully.
Next Wednesday.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, thank you very much.
Hey, okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air, and you can find them at theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com.